What is up? And welcome to Radio Libre 2.0 on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This is Nick, and you just heard Back in Black by AC/DC. That is an amazing song. Such a great song. Love that song. Love AC/DC. They're just such a good group. And the reason I'm playing Back in Black by AC/DC is because it is Marvel release week. This Thursday night, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania will be starting in theaters. And as you guys know, last semester with Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, I did a show celebrating Black artists. And this time I decided to do a special episode to hype up the movie. And I'll be going through some music that has been put on soundtracks throughout different MCU movies and kind of talking about those movies as well as like the new Ant-Man and everything. So this was from the very first Iron Man, 2008, Jon Favreau, Robert Downey Jr. This has since become super associated with Iron Man and the MCU Iron Man. Cause it's such a good song and it fits. It feels not metallic, but it feels like I don't know, rigid, like Iron Man. I don't really know how to explain it, but I think that was a very good song choice for them to use for the first Iron Man, and probably one of the best song choices of any of the Phase 1 movies, because that's honestly the only Phase 1 soundtrack song that I found was like notable enough to play for you guys tonight. So we're gonna we're moving from Iron Man 1 all the way through Phase 1, introduce all the Marvel heroes, and now we're at the very, very beginning of Phase 2, where we go to a little flashback at the beginning of Iron Man 3 for Tony's first like meet cute, I suppose, with the villain of that film, Aldrich Killian. So here is the song that's playing at the party when they meet. It's Eiffel 65. And I don't even think I have to say the name because I think you already know what it is.
Yo, listen up. Here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue like him. Inside and outside, blew his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette, and everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, cause he ain't got nobody to listen to.
I'm blue, I've been deed, I've been died, 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 I've been deed, I've been died. I'm blue, I've been deed, I've been died, 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 I've been deed, I've been died.
So that was Redbone, Come and Get Your Love, obviously from the intro credits scene of the first Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm going to be honest, I think James Gunn is a very big reason for the more normalized inclusion of modern music in Marvel movies. It was just kind of become a staple now, but I feel like James Gunn really, really introduced that. Because obviously there's only two songs in terms of the timeline that were of note before the first Guardians movie, and the rest of it all obviously happens all after that. Come and Get Your Love, that's a good song. Redbone, a good group. To talk about Ant-Man a bit, I guess, because it's coming. This takes place after Loki, the Disney Plus series that introduced He Who Remains, and he warned about his other variants that were more dangerous, and Sylvie killed him, basically messing up the multiverse. And that's why at the end we are teased with a giant figure of a variant of He Who Remains, which is known as Kang. And so Kang is this new multiversal warlord that will be the primary villain of Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and I think the rest of the current MCU up until I think 2025, which is great. They got Jonathan Majors, who is a great actor. I first learned about him on the HBO show Lovecraft Country, and he was obviously in Loki. He played He Who Remains because it's a variant. He's going to be in Ant-Man, and he's going to be in Creed 3 opposite Michael B. Jordan, playing one of his friends. Jonathan Majors really just, it's his year. He has a lot going for him, and he seems like a really good actor. I mean, he doesn't seem like, he is a really good actor, and I'm really excited to see him just as pure evil, pure despicable Kang. And Kang is such an interesting character, in my opinion. It's always funny because I feel like a lot of Marvel fans, specifically Lego Marvel fans, will know Kang because he was the primary villain of the Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 video game that came out in 2018, I want to say. I think it was 2018. Yeah. No, 2017. My apologies. It was 2017. And he was the big bad of that game, and he basically pulled all these different realities across the multiverse into one citadel, Kang Citadel, which is the open world in the game. And so you have like New York, Nueva York, which is the future New York, New York Noir, which is like Spider-Man Noir, Xandar from Guardians of the Galaxy, the Wild West, and Atlantis, where like Namor is from. And it was really cool. And that was like a lot of people's first introduction to Kang. And that was my first introduction to Kang. And that caused me to go in and learn about him. So I'm very excited to see him on the big screen. But getting back to the music, hopping on from Guardians into Phase 3 with the premiere film of Phase 3, Captain America Civil War, which introduced a very, very big character into the MCU that's become fan favorite. The actor, he does a great job, but it all started in a little hallway after the screen lit up in big white letters with the word Queens.
Hey, shady baby, I'm hot like the prodigal son. Big up at a lini, mini, money, moe, and flower, you're the chosen one.
All right. Everybody's fine, so chill.
Fun fact, if you didn't know, that last line of the song, that's the synth, that actually is saying, please turn me over, because this was the last song on side A of this record by ELO, Mr. Blue Sky, which was from the opening credits of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Baby Groot dancing around the battle. Such an iconic scene, such an iconic scene. Now we are deep in phase two, and this is when quite a few characters have already been established. The MCU is doing quite well. Ant-Man already established. I think another thing that I'm excited for, since we're on the topic of Ant-Man, another thing I'm really excited for is the scale of the movie is going to be vastly different than the other two Ant-Man movies. The other two Ant-Man movies are very, not low stakes, but in terms of global problems, low stakes. The first movie is about a heist. Literally, that was the big thing in the trailer. It's like you can save the world with a heist. And the second one, also a heist. And I'm assuming there'll be a heist in the third one, too. But Ant-Man's big thing, especially with them choosing Scott Lang to take the mantle of Ant-Man, it's a lot of heists. I remember when the first Ant-Man came out, I was very surprised that they were going with Scott Lang. I didn't even know who Scott Lang was. I only knew Hank Pym. And they were like, oh, we're aging up Hank Pym to be a mentor, and we're going to bring in Scott Lang, who is the current comic Ant-Man. And I looked him up, and I was like, oh, okay. And, I mean, I wasn't defensive or anything. I feel like now, if that happened, people would get really mad and be like, that's not comic accurate. But I liked what they did. I liked the choice. Paul Rudd does a great job. Man doesn't age. And yeah, I have a quick PSA for you guys. So bear with me. Nobody is special enough to text and drive. It's dangerous for everyone. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org and learn more. Don't text and drive. What is next? Ooh. So also, if you guys didn't know, Left Hand Free by Alt-J is the song that's playing when Spider-Man shows up in Civil War. And this next song is the song that plays during the credits of Spider-Man's first MCU solo movie, Spider-Man Homecoming. So by the Ramones, the band where none of them are brothers, but they're all the Ramones, and they're really ugly. Here is Blitzkrieg Bop, a song that makes no sense.
Let's go! Aye!
So that was Led Zeppelin, Immigrant Song, which was in Thor Ragnarok, the film by Taika Waititi. He did the third Thor and the most recent Thor, which we will get to. I just think this was by far the best song choice for any MCU movie, just because Led Zeppelin did write, like, it's about everything, all Norse mythology. It's about Thor and the Valkyrie and everything. And I remember they used it in the trailer and they used it in the movie more than once. They use it at the opening, the initial fight with Surtur, and the final fight against Hela. And it's a great song, great inclusion. And Thor Ragnarok is just such a good movie. I think it's a perfect coincidence that I'm now realizing that I have a song from every single one of the main hero's third installment. We had Blue from Iron Man 3, we had Left Hand Free from Civil War, and now we had Immigrant Song from Ragnarok. And obviously, Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania is Ant-Man's third film. And I think that is the biggest similarity that I've noticed is the first two movies. The first movie obviously introduces the character. The second movie expands on that same character that you were introduced to, and the third movie completely gives them multiple dimensions and a deep, deep character arc and deep conflict and a lot of loss. The third installment always has a lot of loss. And I'm very, very curious to see who's gonna be lost in Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. Will it be Hank Pym? I don't know. I feel like maybe. I don't know how Michael Douglas feels about being in the MCU. Maybe he's done. Maybe he wants to move on. A lot of people have also been speculating that maybe something will happen to Scott, because Kang doesn't pull his punches. Kang is the big deal. He's a problem, and I don't think Ant-Man's going down without a fight. I don't know if Scott makes it out, if he'll be the same Ant-Man. There's a lot of possibilities with this movie, just because, like, obviously this new Phase 4 and the multiverse saga has the multiverse. So maybe R. Scott, the 616 MCU Scott, won't exist anymore. Maybe another version of Scott, another variant, will enter the MCU. Maybe this Scott will get put in another universe. There's so many things that could happen. That's the problem with making a big cinematic universe, is things are going to start to get really, really, really convoluted really fast. So I'm very interested to see how that will work. And I'm very interested to see the arc that Scott undergoes, because the story, I feel, is going to have high stakes and real emotional beats, and it'll be dark, and it'll be deep, and it'll be about family and about loss and about pain, and I think it's going to hit some people in the heartstrings. But the first two, I don't think hit that hard. I mean, they literally used this song in Ant-Man and the Wasp, so I mean, you decide for yourself.
Song that we're singing, come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
We had a dream, we'd go traveling together. We'd spread a little loving and we'll keep moving on. Something always happens whenever we're together. We get a happy feeling when we're singing a song.
Traveling along, there's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy. We'll make you happy.
So that was No Doubt, Just a Girl, featured in Captain Marvel, which was it was pretty good. But the song inclusion was great. I feel like some of the artistic decisions that Marvel makes are really, really good and are really unique. And like, for example, what I was saying about, like, aging up Hank Pym and making him a mentor to Scott. I think that was a really, really good decision and something that I think a lot of fans also appreciated. Another thing is making Aunt May realistically aged. No 18-year-old kid, but it's really unlikely for an 18-year-old kid to have a grandma aunt. Like, in the comics, she's old. Obviously, I mean, she dies when he's an adult, but she's older. I mean, I think Sally Field in Amazing Spider-Man was probably the most aptly aged, but Marissa Tomei gets a pass. What other choices has the MCU made? For example, even in Black Panther, making Namor and making him Mayan, great decision. That fit so well with the themes of the movie and just brought so much more depth to the character. There's just so many choices that they've made that are that are just I really really like, and I like that it separates the comics from the movies, and gives them their own breath and their own depth that can vary, and they can reside in their own universes, and you can enjoy the story decisions. Oh, another one, making Stephen Grant, one of Mark Spector, one of Moon Knight's personalities, making him British and making him the primary personality that you're introduced to. That was crazy. I'm a big Moon Knight fan, and I was always like, oh yeah, Mark Spector, Moon Knight. Stephen Grant was just like the rich, like, billionaire on the side. Yeah, in the comics, Stephen Grant is a rich billionaire. He's not a little British, nerdy, timid man. He's a billionaire. And I think he might be an actor, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember entirely. I haven't actually, like, read the, like, old Moon Knight comics in a while. Also, I really like that with the new phases, at least, they're going all in on comic accuracy in terms of, like, presentation and costumes. Because it's really cool to see something that you've seen on a page your entire life brought out and not made all tactical. That was a big problem they had early on, was they made everything really, really tactical, and it lost a lot of its charm. Because the Captain America suit doesn't have 50 zippers, okay? It doesn't have 50 zippers, and it's nice, and it has the scales. So when they put the scales on the suit in Endgame, everyone was so ecstatic, because there was, ooh, scales, yes! And, like, in Endgame as well, they gave Iron Man the gold forearms. Or not the gold forearms, the gold upper arms. That like, the classic suit. Perfect. End of Spider-Man No Way Home. He got his classic red and blue suit that he made himself. Awesome. So there's so many examples. And that just makes me really happy, because I'm glad that they made the decisions that they did. One decision that they made, which I don't know if they've ever actually addressed, but in case you didn't know, because it comes out this Thursday, I think you should know. Adult Cassie Lang, Scott's daughter, was recast after her appearance in Avengers Endgame. It was Emma Furman. She was in a couple scenes. She was in the one scene where Scott comes back and he's walking down the street. Another fun fact, the boy on the bike where he goes, "What the hell happened here?" And the boy looks at him. That is the actor that played Spider in Avatar The Way of Water, the annoying human boy. Korch's son. Yeah, that was him in Endgame. But Emma Furman then sees him at the door and she's like, "Dad," and there's this whole moment. And then she's at the end with Evangeline Lilly and Paul Rudd sitting on the step watching the fireworks when it's like, "Oh my God, we survived. We're alive." But Marvel was like, "No, Emma Furman, we don't want you anymore." And they cast Catherine Newton. So Catherine Newton is now Cassie Lang. And yeah, I'm excited to see her do that. The next song I have for you guys is from Avengers Endgame, which was the very end of the big Infinity Saga. I think it was really, really cool because, like, I had grown up on these movies, and I got to be a fan watching everyone else around me become fans. Like, this was a big moment in just, like, society, was the release of Avengers Endgame. And people were hopping on the train to get into Marvel, so they could enjoy this kind of cultural experience. I remember I saw it in theaters, like a lot of the Marvel movies that I see. I saw it the Thursday, came out that afternoon. I remember the line was all the way outside the theater, and I waited, and I got my seat, and we watched the whole movie, and it was great, because everyone's cheering, and extra so because of that movie. Everyone was cheering But it wasn't cheering in an annoying way like some people do now. It was cheering in just this great, pure, fun way, innocent, and just so happy to be a fan. But the song I have for you guys from that movie is when Bruce and Rocket go to New Asgard, the development that's the Asgardians made on Earth after Hela destroyed Asgard. So here is Supersonic Rocket Ship by the Kinks.
Trip, my supersonic ship's at your disposal if you feel so inclined. Well, alright. We're gonna travel faster than light, so drop your overcoat tight and we'll go anywhere you want to decide. Well, alright. Supersonic rocket ship, nobody has to be helped, nobody needs to be out of sight. Nobody's gonna travel second class, there'll be equality and no suppression of minorities. Supersonic ships at your disposal if you feel so inclined. Well, alright. Nobody gonna travel second class, there'll be equality and no suppression of minorities. Well, alright. Let me take you on a little trip.
Thank you.
So that was Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses, which appeared in the Phase 4 film Thor: Love and Thunder. It was a big part of the promotional material for the film. I don't actually remember if it was in the movie. But it's crazy that 2022, and we had our fourth Thor movie. So many Marvel movies and so many shows and now two specials. And it's crazy how big it's grown. And now we're in Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, the beginning of Phase 5. Black Panther was the last movie in Phase 4. Ant-Man is the first movie in Phase 5, which is crazy. And Iron Man 3 was the beginning of Phase 2. And now we're on Phase 5. And Iron Man 3 was released in 2013. 10 years. It's crazy. But it's so exciting. I know a lot of people like to hate on Marvel movies. And I agree, a lot of recent stuff, they've been focused a lot more on quantity rather than quality, specifically with the shows. But I don't know. I really like the idea of a large universe where a bunch of characters can live with each other and interact with each other. And I don't know. It's done wonders for the film industry. It's in good ways and bad. But yeah, I got one more song for you guys, and this isn't a coincidence, but it is the song that has been heavily featured in the Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania promotional material. It is Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road by Elton John, which is an amazing song, and I really hope they actually put it in the movie, because I think that'd be really cool. Hopefully they don't use it in a bad way, and by bad way I mean like in a sad way, like something bad happens and then you just hear Elton John and you're bawling your eyes out and you're like, no, why did you have to die, Batman? Why? But no. So my last song for you guys is a Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road by Elton John. Too young to